Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Knights of the Round Table podcast. It is I, Grandmaster Brain Wizard King Nicholas, and I'm here with a few special guests, such as Circumcision, aka Scott.
Shalom.
All right. And we got Circumsalot, aka Evan.
Howdy do.
And there's also Sir Chonky, aka Ben.
Yeah, that might be changing, though.
No. And then we have Sir Ma'am, a.k.a. TJ.
It is Ma'am.
And then, as always, everyone's favorite, Sir Stepdad, a.k.a. Jack.
Hello.
What's going on, boys?
For record, I'm not a tranny.
Just gotta put that out there.
I want to start off with on the record. Something.
Yeah.
In case any.
Great as a
boy. Yeah. Well, my homie is back on the keto diet.
Are you?
Yeah. I had to weigh myself. It's been like a week.
Are you just doing keto? Or are you doing keto and working out?
I'm doing keto, but I'm trying to do both.
So the thing.
I started off doing keto and working out, but.
So the thing with keto is it is an incredibly high fat focused diet.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Trying to get your body to burn fat, so you really got to push that exercise to get your body to take off that fat, or you're just gonna blow up. My COVID 20 turned into a COVID 30.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie. When I did the when I was doing it back last year for a couple months, I did it for 3 months and lost almost 50 pounds.
Oh, congratulations.
I am not doing keto, but I have recently lost 30 pounds, so I
don't know. Nice.
Please clap. Notice the people that, like, run news stations or the banks have names that end in, like, ski or wits?
Stop. What's up with that?
Ski or Polish people.
Oh, they must be all Polish. That's right.
Yep.
Polish people are the ones that the Nazis didn't like, right?
Polish,
I mean, yeah.
The ones that part that Germany, Russia, France, and the UK doesn't like for some reason. No one likes them.
I like Polish.
They've gotten it pretty rough over the last couple of decades, and they don't deserve it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take controversial stance here. I think Poland didn't deserve it.
Yeah, Poland didn't deserve it.
Controversial stance. Yeah. We've ended up.
Yeah, we haven't really done anything. We haven't really done anything in a while, so.
That's a lie, Nicholas.
I mean, we went to Las Vegas, but.
Fucking apes went to Las Vegas and have told me nothing.
You haven't heard any stories?
Yo, side note, you guys ever noticed that bitches from this country always look mad ugly?
That's foul. I heard Nick was a businessman doing business one time, and that was all you guys told me, because
our chat
is filled with Jake building
shit. I need you to stop talking for a second. Scott, that joke doesn't work. No one listening can see what you just said. Put the picture you just posted.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's the Turkish flag. It's the transgender flag. I am not one of them, by the way. I can just recognize it is the transgender flag.
If you are transgender.
Jake, I am not transgender. I am the straightest man on this planet.
Will the phrase...
Not Pride Month, but Pride Month turn up.
Okay, Nick, did you have a good time in Vegas?
I had a good time.
You had a great time?
I had a good time.
I might have had a good time.
Yeah. I had a good time.
Did you guys
but
have
also
a, good time?
A bad time.
Yeah.
But it was still a good time.
Tell a story. Tell a story.
So,
I got
a good one.
Whoa.
Give her the story.
We should start from the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, so
so 7 months ago, we were talking at a fire. Nick was like, "Hey, my family's going to Vegas." We were like, "Oh, that'd be a fun trip to do." And he was like, "You guys come to Vegas too." And we were all like, "Yeah, let's go to Vegas."
So that's not the true story. The true story is that it was the Super Bowl, and my sister was here, and she said, "Hey, we're going to Vegas." I was like, "Okay, cool." And then I was like, "Well, I bet Jake could go to Vegas." And then I invited people because Jake wasn't there yet. Everyone said no. Jake gets here. Hey, Jake, want to go to Vegas? Yep. All right. Jake and I are going to Vegas. And then everyone else was like, hey, actually, can we come too? And then we just kept building.
No one wants to be the
I didn't know you guys were going to Vegas. You were just like
two dudes in Vegas, and that's
gay. You were there when I invited you. You were one of the first people I invited.
Yeah, because I can't, because I'm on military orders. I can't go more than 80 miles from my house.
Oh, yeah, no, we weren't. We didn't invite you.
Yeah,
yeah. GG, you weren't. Roger, I'll just go fuck myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was what we got to the airport early in the morning. We had like a 9:30 flight, 9:45.
Yeah.
Had a layover in Denver.
Saw the lizard people airport.
Saw the lizard people. We saw the murder horse.
Yep, and I saw the horse.
Yo, okay, I didn't know this, but apparently City Walk is a real restaurant.
Yeah.
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 Like in the Denver airport.
I thought it probably was done as a reference to South Park. Like,
either way, it was good Chinese food. I got Chinese food there. It was fucking bomb.
Joe said it was not good. But
fire.
So then we flew from Denver to Las Vegas, and the flight was really packed.
Yeah.
I fell asleep. There was a lot of turbulence, too. It was sick.
There's a lot of turbulence.
Yeah.
It was Robbie's first time flying.
Yep.
And there was enough turbulence that even I started getting nervous. And then I heard this little kid in front of me who just looked at his dad. He was like, "Dad, it's just like the movies." And I was like, "Ah, if the little kid's fine, then I have to be fine, because little kids pretty much always know when they're about to die."
I was enjoying it. It was like a carnival ride, you know, it was fun. But then there was one point where we basically just went down for like 15 seconds straight. And I wasn't enjoying it that much. It just, the plane just kept getting lower. I was like, oh no.
Well, there was like one point where the wind basically went completely horizontal, or vertical, I mean. I was like, we're going to turn too far and we're going to crash.
Yeah.
I mean, just flips over and we take a nose dive.
No matter what happens when you go up in the aircraft, you're always going to come back down. You'll be fine.
At least we have life rafts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, at least you're wearing your mask 6 feet
and
apart, you're not gay.
We also. We also have the life jackets.
And the airbags. Like the breathing.
Yeah, the oxygen mask will drop in for us.
Yeah. But
survive in any situation.
Yeah, that flight from Denver to Vegas was packed, and Nick had this guy asking for a phone charger, and Nick has an Android, and he had an iPhone, and he's like, "Oh yeah, this will work," and then it was like,
"Oh, it didn't work.
It's not working. It's not for the right phone."
Oh,
that guy also died. He like slept for like the whole time. Basically after that.
And then he actually died. It was bad.
Yep.
On that flight from Denver, the guy behind me and Joe just started throwing up on takeoff because there was so much turbulence. He threw up in the bag. It was like, I never got to get a good look at him, but everybody around me was like, "Oh, it looks like it was really bad." And the lady was like, "Yeah."
we almost forgot when we landed in Denver. We literally landed the plane, and then the second the wheels touched the ground, Jake was
fly into the bathroom. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I had to pee so bad, and they're like, "Oh, all right, we're in the descent. You can't get up from the seats." And I was like, "It won't be that long."
Hey, say that, but you're your own man. What are they gonna do?
Yeah, I didn't want to get yelled at. Pick you off. I was like, I can hold it. It's the nearest airport.
And set you off there.
Yeah. So, by the time we were getting close to the ground, my eyeballs were floating, and I had to pee so bad it was taking everything of like my being just to concentrate on not pissing my pants in the Denver, or like on the plane in Denver. And then as soon as it landed, I got up and like started making my way to the bathroom on the plane. And people immediately got up too, and they're in the way, they're getting the luggage, and I'm like, "Oh, excuse me, sorry, I have to go to the bathroom, excuse me." And this one lady, she gives me like the dirtiest look, and she's like, "Oh, I guess." I'm like, "I just have to go to the bathroom." And then the lady like right behind her was like, "Oh yeah, sure, no problem, let me get out of the way for you. Like, oh, do you have enough room?" Because she had her suitcase down. I was like, "Yep, you're fine." Make it to the bathroom, it's locked. Now, I'm just waiting there, because waiting for everyone to walk by so I can walk back and grab my stuff. That lady who gave me the dirty look, she walks by and goes, "Oh, it's locked, by the way." I was like, "Yeah, I can see that." Oh my god, I was so mad. If I saw her in the airport, I was going to...
The front or the back of the aircraft?
Grr.
It was in the middle, kind of. More in the front, I guess.
It was in the middle. You're like right by the wings.
Yeah. Okay.
My favorite. The bathroom was where they separate for first class.
Yeah.
The bathroom was up towards the front.
Ream that lady out for being such a bitch for literally no reason.
What are you gonna do? What are they gonna do? Throw you off the aircraft?
Yeah. Ban me from United flights.
So
we
went to the hotel.
No, before this, we get to Vegas Airport. Nick wins money immediately on the.
Get off the plane. Jake and I get off the plane. Everyone else is still on the plane, and I already won. They have slot machines right in the airport.
Like puts a dollar in and wins 20.
Did you see when we were getting back, like the friggin' when we were leaving in the Vegas airport, there was that one room where there were like machines and there was a smoking room.
Yeah, I did see that.
An indoor smoking room inside the airport. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the only smoking area inside the airport.
But then we go on the tram, friggin' sitting down the luggage, trying to fly around the tram.
Yeah, he's rolling around on he's got the wheels on the bottom of his suitcase, and he's sitting on it as the tram is moving, and he's just rolling down the entire thing. We're the only ones in there. He's just rolling down the entire thing.
Great.
It's funny. And then he crashed, I think.
And then I crashed.
Yeah.
Fine. That was fine.
It was funny.
But then we get to the airport, or we take a taxi.
Yeah.
I go to pay. Nick's like, "Nah, I got it." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I put my card back in my wallet. We walk inside. We're like checking in to the hotel, trying to get our room keys and stuff. I go to like reach for my. I'm like, "All right, we're almost there. Up in line." Go to reach for my wallet. Take my wallet out. There's no ID in there. It's like, okay. It's probably just in my pocket or something. So I start checking in my pockets. Check every pocket. I'm like, okay. So I lost my ID in Las Vegas.
Yes, you're not freaking all a Vegas gamer.
My brother went to Miami and he lost his passport there.
Oof.
Wow.
And the thing is, he didn't even need to bring his passport. My mom just needed to take it. So he did and he lost it. Well, like the issue with that is...
It wasn't fun with that. But so we go to check in, the guy's like, "I need an ID." And of course, I was the one who like put my name forward for the hotel. So they were like, "We need your ID." And then the guy was like, "All right, I'm just gonna help you guys out." And he let Joe like get our room key and stuff. And we got to go to our hotel room. I don't even know what you guys did at that point.
Nick and I went and put our stuff in our hotel room.
And then me and Robbie did the same thing. And then because of you losing your ID, I was so vigilant of having my ID. Like, I would get my ID back and I would like intentionally put it back in the right spot so I knew I put it. Like, you know, sometimes you mindlessly put something away. Yeah. And you're like, "Wait, did I actually put that away?" Literally all weekend, I was like, "Okay, I'm putting my ID back in the slot." I was so afraid of losing
our block to put this ID back in this wallet and resecure it.
Pro
tip, always take a picture of your ID. If you ever get stopped and you don't have your driver's license on you, "Oh, here's a picture of it. Oh, you're trying to board an aircraft? Well, here's a picture of it." 90% of the time, they'll try to let you board unless you get constable ATF agent.
Nope.
Evan actually had a picture of his license.
No. We'll get there. There's some buildup. So I go into the hotel. I'm just like calling my dad. I'm like, "What the fuck should I do?" So I go to security in the hotel. And I like I'm looking for security for about 15 minutes. Cause people are like, "Yeah, it's over there." Just pointing the direction across the casino. I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I end up in another casino, and I find the security guard. I'm like, "All right, take me to the security for Paris." And he's like, "All right." So he takes me there. I just fill out a report thing. I tried to see if my ID was there. Wasn't. Then me and Joe ended up taking a taxi to the police station. I'm trying to get a temporary ID. Can't do that. Can't get an ID sent from your... This is the dumbest thing ever. You can't get an ID, like a... Like that temp... Did you guys see that temp license I got?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't get that. And you just can't get that, like, faxed over in the mail. It's the dumbest.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you supposed to do? People lose stuff all the time.
Yeah. You're like, never know the freshman's going to lose your ID in Vegas.
Yeah. Like, were they just like, oh, okay. Unless you got, like, a fucking... Unless you look like an actual Viking, or you're 140 years old, you're not getting ID'd. But then we just went back, and then we just went out and toured around. Where was the first place we went? Where was the first place we got food that night?
I don't know.
Well, time
to I mean, we don't need to talk about literally everything we did.
I know.
I don't know. I know that the first night is that we went to that X country show.
Like dinner.
We went to a country music show.
Oh, yeah, we went to our country music show.
Topless review.
Topless review.
I gotta be honest with you guys.
It's not a shirtless, guys.
From what I'm used to seeing for topless women, I was not that... I was not that that thrilled by what we were seeing.
I mean, you shouldn't have been surprised. We did tell you multiple times that the review said they were smaller breasted.
No, I know. They were, I mean, fucking, yeah, I still enjoyed it, but it was like, oh, okay. Like, not even, they were all B cups. It was like 12 girls. They were all B cups. Like, I expected at least one C cup.
The best kind.
You know?
Nick doesn't have big hands. he can't handle like a, just can't handle it.
He doesn't have big hands. He's got a big heart.
Yeah.
A big head, big heart.
You cut Nick open down the middle. It's just all heart.
You know what they say about a man with big feet? Huge depression. Did you just say feet?
But yeah, those girls were very talented.
They were very good talented. They were very attractive.
It was pretty insane.
Honestly.
Yeah, they had those.
They were very talented. I just personally was not impressed by their assets.
You go to school for 4 years in hoology, you better be good at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'll give them credit because they were dancing around and they're wearing like those high heels. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they were
like just, doing like almost flips and shit.
Yeah, like flips and everything, and they're just in heels, and it's like, oh, dude, I would have freaking snapped my ankle like 7 hours ago.
Ribbon gymnastics, like
what the heck?
Everyone was doing like the ribbon thing, like the ribbon.
Oh yeah.
With like they climb up the ribbon and
yeah.
No,
I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah. I definitely enjoy. It was enjoyable, but you know, obvious complaints is obvious. What do we do after that? We go gamble more. Gambling.
Yeah, Joe's a gambler.
I think that was the night that Joe won. $800 off a slot machine.
Yeah.
He put $5 in,
wins $804 back.
Yep, and then he fucking rolled, he played again for like another 10 minutes or something like that, put $20 in and then won $200. We were all like, Joe, you need to stop.
Yeah, that was the next morning.
Like, yeah, you're right. And then he just fucking
the next morning, he won $200. And he never stopped the whole time we were there.
Yep.
But then the next day after that is when we went to the Zach Baggins Museum.
Yeah.
That was
scary.
That was really scary.
I'm not gonna lie. I fucking waited for Robbie to come back that night before I fell asleep because I was really afraid that he was gonna fucking like open the door and then it would close loud and I was gonna fucking shit the bed. I was so fucking afraid. And then finally came back and I was like,
"All right, word of the day." Talking about shitting. So for all of you that don't know, in real life, he will
They know. They listen to the podcast.
Yeah, all the time.
Everybody shits. Shit's funny. So
shitting is
funny. Zach Museum was terrifying.
No, that basement was terrifying.
The first half of it was pretty tame because it was like, oh, here are some dolls that people think are haunted. Here's a room with Bonnie and Clyde stuff in it that people think is haunted. Here's some stuff from some of the most well-known serial killers in American history. By the way, Ted Bundy looks like Bob Saget.
Yeah, Scott, we
I fucking maintain that today. Ted Bundy looks like Bob Saget.
I mean, in that one picture, probably.
So, yeah. So what was, like, I guess also
thing you saw in there?
What was what?
What was the craziest thing you guys saw in there? Because I feel like there's not like a literal box labeled 40-pound box of rape, but I feel like there'd be something funny in there.
It was something pretty close to that, honestly.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to know, but I kind of want
to
know.
We're getting to it, TJ. We're getting to it. It's like the biggest thing we saw here.
So I will say we should probably... if you guys don't know what the Zach Baggins Museum is, or who Zach Baggins is, if you guys have ever seen the show Ghost Adventures, Zach Baggins is like the lead investigator host. He bought a building in Las Vegas where he takes a bunch of haunted or like haunting related items, and he has them in there, you know what I mean? So we went there and we saw a bunch of freaky stuff, basically.
Yeah. Well, the building was also supposed to be haunted anyway before the stuff was in there.
Yeah, he bought the building.
And then they did some like they did some like satanic rituals in the basement and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to go in the basement, except Jake didn't.
We're in the basement.
Yeah. We didn't finish talking about the fucking serial killer room. The serial killer room had a lot of shit from fucking Manson and Ted Bundy.
Had some of Charles Manson's bones.
And Dr. Kevorkian.
Well, that was a different thing.
That was a different room. So the Charles Manson shit they had a painting that some guy did. It was a painting. It was a portrait of Charles Manson painted in Charles Manson's blood.
And I think it was the artist's blood.
No, it was Charles Manson's blood.
I don't think it was.
It was the artist's.
But the eyes were Charles Manson's ashes.
How do you even get those? Did it say how
I don't know.
It?
I mean, do we know for a fact it's true?
Yeah, it could have just been a dog or something.
No, then, I mean, it's
the next
probably
room over
true.
Was
I
the fucking
it.
Kevorkian room. They had Dr. Yep. Kevorkian's actual office.
The murder van.
Yeah, and like a bunch of his paintings. They had his van.
The paintings were spooky. I don't know how people passed out in that room.
Something that was incredibly close to a 40-pound box of rape.
We're getting there. It's at the end. Just shut the fuck up, TJ. Then we got to go to the Satan room.
Satan?
The basement?
The basement, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the basement is where they were doing the satanic rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they had a pentagram hanging on the floor, and they're sacrificing people and stuff.
Evan, we get down there.
In the room,
we get down there.
They get down there. In there, and it's always going off.
So. That was what scared me. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what was scaring me. We're in there. I was like, this sound is making me, like, on. It was putting me on edge. And then we're like, where's the pentagram? And then I'm just standing on the fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like doing a fucking jig on. He's like, where's the pentagram? I was like, you're standing on. He was like, cool, let's leave.
And then he just
phases into the floor and he's gone.
I honestly, if that happened, probably would have just fucking died.
He fucking explodes like a GI walking through a field and now I'm just...
Who went
down
there,
let people anywhere near that thing?
So we forgot to mention, before we even went in the building, Evan elbowed Joe in the face on accident, and Joe started bleeding.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking,
we're going to walk on the pentagram, start bleeding on it, and start fucking bringing stuff back.
Yep.
It did happen, unfortunately.
The way the basement is set up, you walk down this flight of wooden stairs. You don't go through a door. You go down the flight of wooden stairs, through a doorway,
top of the stairs.
And then you go through like a stone archway
tunnel. Pitch black tunnel.
Oh, my God. It was so
and the tour guide doesn't go down with you.
Yeah, he's like, I don't go down there. I avoid that.
I was like, fuck.
So the other...
Jake walks down first and Jake's like, hauntings and bullshit. Fuck off. Why would you work there?
It's cool.
So, it's very cool. It's some of the stuff that he has, like he has Dr. Kevorkian's van. Like, the van that was supposed to get crushed after the Kevorkian trials and then just didn't for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like constantly dark.
Probably paid a good 50, 60K for that van.
Oh, yeah, Zach spends most of the stuff, money on that stuff.
So yeah, so you get into the, you walk down the tunnel. Jake got to the bottom of the stairs, looked at the tunnel, and went. So we get to the bottom of the stairs and we look down the tunnel. All of us are like peeking. Jake fucking goes, nope, can't do it. Walks back upstairs. So I was like, fuck it, I'm already here. I'm not going first though. I forget who went. Did Robbie go first?
Robbie went first. I was right behind.
Robbie went first, and I was like, all right, perfect. So we get down to the end of the tunnel. Joe's behind me, and he's fucking hanging back way too far. Then all of a sudden, he fucking like fast walks to the end of the tunnel, scares the piss out of me, gets to the Satan room, peeks in, and then goes, nope, can't do it. Turns around and runs back up the stairs. I'm like, fuck it, I'm already here. Walk into the Satan room. I'm standing like fucking 2 feet into the doorway. I'm not walking around this bitch. Fuck that.
I walked around in there.
I was not doing that.
It's not very big. Fuck-
so
it's
scary.
Not that big. I kind of went, walked all the way in, looked around a little.
Like the whole vibe in there, like there's candles lit and fucking.
Yeah.
Like.
A pentagram on the floor.
Yeah. Drawings on the walls and stuff. I was like, yeah, I really don't want to be in here anymore.
Yeah, that, we all fucking ran back up the stairs. It was spooky.
Well, the thing about it is, so for any of you listening who do plan on going, if you do want to go into the basement, you have to get the VIP package.
It's well worth it.
It is $750
a person.
You get to see so many more things.
And it's only like $20 more.
And you get a free t-shirt, which is going to
cost. And you get a t-shirt, anyway. Yeah.
Yep.
T-shirt's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. I haven't worn it yet, though.
I did. I wore it in Vegas.
True.
After that, we did. It was a bunch of stuff that was like people got murdered, and this is their blood on a thing.
Well, there was the murder doll.
The bed. I can never remember the murder trial.
The Kansas City Butcher.
Yeah, the Kansas City Butcher.
I was getting that. That was further down.
It doesn't really matter what order we talk about it then.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Kansas City Butcher shit, that shit freaked me the fuck out for some reason. I have no idea why.
So it was a serial killer, right? And he would kidnap people and keep them in his house. He would just take Polaroids of them, like, while he was, like, torturing them and stuff. And they had a bunch of the pictures up on the wall. They had the actual bed. The real bed that they peed on. The sheets with the shit still on them from the last victim. The, like, dowel that he, like, shoved up their ass, the clamps that he put on their nipples and shocked them with,
the neon transformer, the neon
sounds like nothing but a good time.
It was fucking scary.
It was not a good time.
Then from there we went to, well, we're skipping over a bunch of shit because we forgot about the doll that fucking
didn't get there yet.
People, the shrunken head that murders.
Well, that was later in the museum.
Yeah,
we saw Ed Gein's
pattern here. I'm not sure if I like.
Ed Gein's, like, big pot that he cooked people in.
Yeah.
That room was pretty cool.
American Horror Story?
Yeah. Designed the sets from American Horror Story, designed the room. So it was, like, pretty sick.
It fit the whole thing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, there was that room where they had the doll with, like, the long white dress and, like, the story behind it was
the blood.
What was that, Nick?
It had all the blood on it still?
Yeah, it was like the dad just decided he was going to kill his family. So he walked in with a gun and was going to shoot the kids. And the son fought him off and ended up shooting the dad. And the little girl, like the daughter, didn't know that he was like dying.
Like she was really young,
Know he was like dying on the floor. So she saw her dad laying down. So she went and laid down with him, holding this doll with this like big white dress. And they put a black light on it. You can still see all the blood stains and everything, and like brain juices and everything all over the doll.
Spinal fluid and craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was spooky.
And in that room. They had like I don't even know what it was. It's like something you see at a church almost. I heard a little baby like crying, like a whine almost. No one else said that they heard it.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything because I thought it was part of it, and then I realized it wasn't. That's not part of it.
Then, was after that, was that the doll that, like, kills people?
Peggy?
You saw Peggy the doll.
Yep.
Which, so there was a woman that bought this doll from an antique store, and she sent a picture of it to her dad, and just looking at the picture gave her dad a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go in and see the doll. You have to say hi, Peggy, and you have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And they have a spirit box
and Evan
running.
Didn't say goodbye.
Yeah, they have a spirit box running. Jake and I fucking heard some shit out of that.
As soon as,
bro,
like,
it's like Phasmophobia.
We walked in, not even into the room, like at like the beginning of the room, because the way they have it is there's a wall set up so you can't see her directly. And as soon as I walked up to like the doorway, the spirit box just says "Mama." I was like, "Oh, okay, that just happened."
You're like, yeah, that was
pretty nuts, bro.
Yeah,
it was pretty scary. It was pretty spook.
Evan's pretty sure he forgot to say goodbye to Peggy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Evan.
Yeah, I know Evan.
Well, get in.
Evan. Yeah, well.
Didn't you get super sick like a couple of days after you got back too?
No. So the whole time when we're in there, it started like pretty much immediately. Like we walked in, and you like when you walk in the door, you go left, and I got like a bunch of like rabbit animatronics or whatever.
Yeah, they call that like the oddities room or whatever.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of random stuff. And they, you know, there's always a tour guide with you, so they have a tour guide and he's talking. And like immediately, I felt weird. It felt like the whole floor was moving up and down, and I was like, well, there's literally no way that's gonna happen because, I mean, it's the entire floor. There's no way they're gonna have the house going up and down and up and down. I felt
really
like,
cool shit there,
floaty, yeah. Like really light and floaty, like. Like I was lightheaded, but I wasn't. You know what I mean?
That's how I felt the whole time too. Oh wait, we didn't even talk about the room of dead celebrities.
We didn't get to it yet.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there.
That was after the.
There's a lot of stuff we didn't talk about.
We didn't talk about the freaking tunnel we all crawled through in pitch black.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. There's real skeletons in there.
Yeah, that was like 38 real human skeletons or real human heads.
Souls. Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
So the scariest thing, in my opinion, was probably the Divic box room.
Yeah, literally the most haunted object in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that one, you walk into one room and they tell you all about it and then give you the opportunity to leave before you actually see the Divic box.
But
while we're still standing in that room, Joe keeps saying he feels something touch his arm.
Yeah, he was freaking out.
And then we actually go into the room with the Divic box.
Yeah. So, Nick, you want to explain the Divic box a little bit?
So, it was a woman. She was a Holocaust survivor, right? And the Divic box, it's like a wine cabinet, basically. Like a small, like, wine box. It's like a Jewish tradition thing. But this one, supposedly, she, like, was able to capture, like, a demon in there. Right? Jake, no, you know this.
It's like pure evil, basically, which she caught in the box. And she split it up into 10 different boxes to try and, like, contain the evil, basically. And they have...
two of them.
And they all got, like, scattered all throughout everywhere. And they have number 10 and number 1 at the museum. That's one that Zach has personally.
Yeah.
But what they didn't mention...
Number 1 is the biggest, you might...
What they don't mention is that there's another guy who has 6 of them.
Really?
He has 6 of them, and he's trying to get the last 2, but he just wants to have them so that no one could ever try and like release the spirit essentially or whatever. He doesn't want to get them all together and open them all at once. He's afraid of what could happen.
How about you don't open them at all?
Well, here's the thing.
Didn't Zach open it?
Yeah, they did. They did a special, a quarantine special when the corona first hit. And Zach opens the box and is just walking around the museum holding the box. That was freaky. I'd recommend watching that.
That was super smooth. So they show a video when fucking Post Malone was there, like getting a private tour with Zach Bagans. Freaking Zach touches the box and like fucking paralyzes himself, and Post has to basically fucking carry him out of the
rescue
room.
Yeah.
And then
turn the lights on, drags him out, like.
And then like over the next like 3 weeks, Post Malone's fucking plane crashes. What happened?
His house got broken.
He gets in a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, "Yeah, I feel like I'm cursed."
Yeah.
So they have it right now. It's enclosed in. It's a chamber made of plexiglass with a bunch of like Jewish hymns on it, written in Hebrew, and then it's surrounded by salt and sage.
And then it's in a glass box itself.
Yeah.
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 Like, I don't want anybody fucking touching this thing at all.
But they recently put up that whole plexiglass thing with like the Jewish writing on it. And I asked the tour guide. I was like, you know, this was put up recently. Like, when did it happen? She was like, "Oh, Zach had a dream a couple weeks ago." Like, basically telling him to do this. So he woke up the next day and had it built.
Like, whoa. Yeah.
Like, was that the thing that he used to have? He used to keep that in his house, right?
No.
What
was the thing that he used to keep in his house that kept pulling out of it?
That was a painting that was the painting that some U.S. soldiers took it from Hitler's house, wasn't it? Was it in Hitler's office?
It was outside his office. It was hanging
outside
on the
Hitler's
wall
office.
Right outside his office.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach had it in, it's essentially the office, it's the building right next door. But then, like, a bunch of stuff started happening. He got locked in the bathroom, like, someone was holding the doorknob, but he was the only one in the building. And he decided that he was not going to keep it in there, so he put it in the museum.
Yeah. They had an earlier room.
Yeah.
They had Bela Lugosi's mirror, right?
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi was an actor, was the actor who played the first Dracula.
Yeah.
And I guess wasn't he doing like occult rituals in the mirror and stuff like that?
Yep.
And people were saying they bought the mirror after and were seeing like figures like reaching out of it and like
he ended up killing himself or something like that, didn't he, because of the mirror?
So when you go in this room, they have a few things in there, but they have the mirror covered, mm-hmm. and then they ask if you want to see it, and they'll take the cover off and let you look into it.
That was spooky.
Was that
I was looking into it, that was the one, I think that was the one with Hitler's painting, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, if that was the room with all the paintings, that's where the painting of
that
little kid
that was all
crying.
The crying boy painting, which the crying boy paintings were a thing in England for a while. That the paintings, the houses were burning down, and they'd go in the houses, and the only thing that would survive were this like these paintings of just like young boys crying, and it happened so frequently that people started like just trying to burn all these paintings. There was some radio station that was like, "Oh, we're gonna prove it's we're gonna get rid of them all." They got a bunch of these paintings and tried to burn them, and they just wouldn't burn.
Hmm.
But they have one of them in there,
and they have a red light on it.
Yeah, that was one thing they did. So you shine a red light on it, so it thinks there's already on fire.
Yep.
Yeah, that was spooky.
It's kind of freaky.
They also had a painting that was used in. It was used in a movie. I forget what movie it was.
I can't remember what movie it was.
But it was actually the one from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like somebody cuts through it, and then they actually hand stitch.
And there's like a secret door. Yeah. I think, like, in the movie, they cut through the painting, and there's a secret door behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Joe here is going to be joining us. He's going to,
That is Sir Stackleather.
He's going to give his input on the Divic box situation.
Oh, I didn't tell my full story about it. Because there's more stuff that happened.
Okay, well, I'm going to pull Joe in.
Yeah, bring Joe in, and then I'll tell the rest of the story. Yeah, Joe's involved.
All right. Hello, Joe.
Welcome,
hello,
Joe.
Everyone.
Don't say the N-word.
We're talking about the Zach Baggins Museum.
I'm wearing my shirt right now, actually. That's perfect.
That's nice. Funny.
So we told him a little bit about the Dybbuk box, right? You got touched in the room outside of it.
No, I got touched in the room outside
of it.
Yeah,
but then when we went in, I was standing there. They had like the smaller Dybbuk box on the side, and I was looking at that. And I could feel somebody standing beside me. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's Scott. I knew
Scott
was there.
In the little corner right there?
Yeah, I could feel, right behind me, like, right behind me. And I was like, it's just Scott. I know Scott was there. And I just kind of glanced over. And, I mean, if you don't know Scott, Scott's pretty tall. I looked over, and there was just this dark figure that was, like, short. Like, pretty short. It was just standing there. I was like, that's not Scott. And as I just kind of kept looking, and it was just a dark figure standing there beside me. And all of a sudden, Joe just walked up and walked right into where it was standing and immediately felt something touch him again.
Yeah, I did not like the feel of that room. Yeah. I felt genuine concern for my own safety in there. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to reach over this box that's shielding the Dybbuk box right now, because it was like, it was open on the top of it, and I was like, I want to reach my hand over it. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I kind of don't want to do that. There's like something telling me not to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe glass box surrounding the wooden box that was like, hey, don't touch this.
I suppose that's a valid point. But no, Was it like in that spot? Like, you know how there was the little Dybbuk box?
Lose.
Yeah.
I don't know who we lost. Oh, then. You know, there was the little Dybbuk box, right? And then, like, it, like, went into a corner, and then the corner went out, and then it went to the right again, and then there was another corner. Like, it was, like, a right angle coming out of the wall.
Yeah.
Was it, like...
Something like that.
Was it, like...
It was... I was standing, like, next to the big Dybbuk box, looking at the smaller one. And then I could feel it, like, behind me, close to, like, the middle of the room. And then you kind of walked right in, like literally, like put your feet right there and completely walked into this like figure.
I hate living alone. I was like concerned putting on my shirt earlier. I was like, I brought this home from a haunted museum. Yeah. I'm concerned to put this on right now. And I'm concerned to like, you know, because I sleep with no shirt on. I'm going to take it off and throw it on the floor, like right beside my bed. So
yeah,
maybe I'll just put it in the bathroom or leave it outside.
Yeah.
The other thing about, in the Dybbuk box room, I was mentioning how I was feeling like really like light and floaty, whatever. I felt like the floor was moving. As soon as we went in the room, I felt heavy. It felt like I had like pressure, like almost pulling me down to the ground, like weighing me down. And only in that room, as soon as I left the room, I didn't feel it anymore.
Yeah. It was weird. Like as soon as you
walked into the building, my chest started getting like tight.
No, me too.
It kept getting worse and worse until like literally like it was just like someone squeezing on me the whole time we were in there. As soon as we walked outside, it was completely gone. I felt fine again.
Yeah. I say that feeling. That
could have been just like I'm thinking about stuff, you know?
That feeling.
I'm psyching myself out.
Peaked when we walked by Peggy for me. That feeling of heaviness.
Have you all considered not fucking with the supernatural in the future?
I didn't fuck with it.
We didn't fuck with the supernatural. I'm usually not one to believe in the supernatural shit. After we went through the room of fucking serial killers, anytime they're like, oh yeah, this killed somebody or was responsible for killing somebody or was in the presence of killing somebody, I was like, oh, taking my hat off. Not disrespecting the dead.
You guys didn't have to go in there. You guys didn't have to go in there with your own blood on you. that was scaring me.
Yeah, Nick was saying he was really afraid you were going to go to the friggin' Satan room and accidentally bleed on
the pentagram.
Yeah, that's something was like really telling me not to go into that room.
Huh. Yeah, maybe it was common sense. It was common sense. Go in.
Oh, actually.
What'd you say?
I wish I didn't go in there.
Yeah.
And step on the pentagram.
Yeah. I totally forgot. So when we went to, you guys went all downstairs, and then I was like, oh, and I turned around and went back upstairs. You know, the tour guide stays there, and he was like, yeah, you know, so like when you audition here, or whatever, they give you a tour, you know, you walk around, and they're showing you all the rooms, and so, you know, I went down there and I checked it out at the beginning, and I walked back upstairs, and I'm talking to the guy who's giving me the tour, and I'm like, so, you know, is there always going to be a security guard down there? Then the guy giving the tour was like, what security guard? And he looks back, and it's not there. And he's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, when he was talking about that, I was like looking at the bottom of the stairs, and I saw like a flash of light, like a camera went off from like really far away. That's what it looked like. And then we got down there, and it, like at the bottom of the stairs where that flash of light came from, it was just a black wall, like a black slate wall. I was like, that was really weird. And I definitely saw like a flash, like a little speck of light that just went like really quickly, really bright. It was just a flash, but it looked like it was wicked far away. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And we went down there, and I was like, this wall is completely black. How the hell did that happen?
So here's the thing. We'll get through this quick because we're spending a lot of time on this. Fucking. Yeah. So after that, it was the room of, was it the clown shit after that?
There's a bunch of clown stuff.
Bunch of creepy clown stuff.
Yeah.
The room of the naval tragedies.
Yeah.
It was like the one, they had some of the Titanic stuff.
They had some of the stuff
from the one, it was, I don't know.
The USS Thresher, the submarine that friggin' unexpectedly just decided to sink itself permanently off Boston.
Maybe
that came from the shipyard actually.
They had the room. It was, I forget her name. She was an actress, and they were her husband, who was another actor, and then Christopher Walken was with them. And she got in a fight with her husband because he thought she was cheating on him with Christopher Walken, and he threw her off the boat and killed her.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of stuff from the boat they were on.
Yeah, but they never proved that he did it. They just, because they couldn't.
Yeah.
And then they had, the next room was the room where it was like the lady that was trying to contact the dead. And then she took a bunch of Polaroids of herself, yeah. Like the last
She had a bunch of like weird like
machines
she created. Yeah.
Oh, she was trying to talk to the dead. That's right.
She's trying to talk to the dead, and then like the last, she was alone that night, and the last Polaroid picture is like mysteriously cut in half.
Yeah.
And then after that was the room. It was a room that was full of all that stuff that was from like the murder house or whatever that used to be on the site.
The demon house.
Yeah.
No, that's not what that is. The demon house was not on the site. It was somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
They took the basement stairs. Yeah. And a bunch of the dirt.
And like the dirt floor from the basement.
Yeah. That was.
That one was cool because you go in a room and you like watch a thing about you. You listen to a thing about it and you watch it, I think. And then the walls open up and you can look out into like the stairs and stuff.
You could touch them.
Yeah, you could reach in. That was a little bit.
It was just open. Yeah, there was no glass.
Nerving. Excuse me.
We saw the devil's rocking chair.
Yeah.
That was this creepy ass rocking chair.
You could have walked up and touched that one too.
I've seen the movie. I forget what movie it is, but the creepy ass rocking chair always freaked me out.
And they were saying that when they would do like exorcisms, and while they were doing that on this kid, the chair would just rock back and forth with no one around it.
Yeah,
and they played audio from one of the exorcisms, and I saw the chair rocking.
It
was Ed and Lorraine Warren were the ones doing the exorcism.
That's the thing, if you sit in the devil's rocking chair, you get permanent, irreversible back damage.
Which is
not because the chair is uncomfortable, because it looked like a pretty comfy chair, honestly.
Yeah, I sat in, it was pretty comfy. Not actually. You could have walked in and touched it, like.
Yeah, the chair was.
That was Evan broke one of the things in that room.
No, I broke one of the things.
Scott broke it, but then the guy was like, "Yeah, it happens all the time."
And he was like, "Oh, it was Evan."
It wasn't like on the chair, you know. It didn't touch the chair.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to the gift shop, and that was pretty much it. Was there anything else that I missed?
No, we saw there was a guy who put the hooks in his eyes and like swung the buckets around.
Yeah,
what was that? Then you could go. That
was part of the freak show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but there was like that weird like viewing stand.
Yeah, that one was in the that quarantine special episode, and they had so in that episode a guy, Zach sends a guy in there for like the first time. Yeah, and while Aaron's standing there, he's got like the spirit box, and it's saying like behind you, and it says like don't step back, and then stuff like that. And then you could go and look into that room that he was standing in. And they had another thing in there that, like, it would, like, I don't know exactly what it did.
It was, like, an EMF reader.
Yeah, and it would, like, they were saying, like, it would, there was, like, recently it had jumped up to, like, 1.7 or something.
No, that was when you guys were in there.
Well, no, because they were saying usually it's at, like, 0.5. And just, yeah, before that it had jumped up real high. And while I was looking in the window, I looked and I kind of leaned back and I glanced at it and I saw it was up high. And it was at, like, a 1.5 or something.
Yeah, as soon as I watched Nick stick his head in the thing. Panged up to 1.5, and I was like, oh.
Yeah,
and then
the guy was like, that's pretty high.
He's like, yeah, it's pretty alarmingly high, but, you know, it is what it is.
Like, that means something was probably, like, within a foot of it. About like, you know, where my head was.
Yeah.
Did you guys discuss, like, the serial killer that, like, hunted male prostitutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that room was so freaky because they literally had all of the shit that the guy used to.
Yeah, the actual stuff. Yeah. Like
actual murder weapons and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get off of this and go to something else. What do we do after the Zach Baggins Museum?
We went to
Sky Zone.
That was...
We did.
Was that right after the Sky Baggins Museum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. No, it wasn't.
No, it was not.
Because we took a taxi out of Zach Baggins Museum and went somewhere else. It was after the Mob Museum we went to Sky Zone.
That's right, yeah.
So did we... Wait, when did we go to Fremont Street?
It was after...
That was after the Mob Museum.
Mob Museum, yeah. We were waiting for a taxi.
That's right, because it was... What did we do?
After the Zach Baggins Museum, I think we just went back to the hotel and hung out around there, I think.
It's a shame that our GoPass became null.
Yeah.
So we went to... So the next day, we went to the Mob Museum. That place was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that place was really cool.
I loved that place. If you go to Vegas, go to the Mob Museum. It's the first... So the building that it's in is the old courthouse, and then it was...
I'd say go to the Zach Baggins Museum, and it's very close to the Zach Baggins Museum.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. It's right down the street. So, so you can do both right back to back.
So the building that the Mob Museum is in, it was the old courthouse, and then it was the old post office for Clark County. Yeah. And so
they actually used the courthouse to try a whole bunch of like the mob like members in Vegas there.
Yeah. So they started the three floors. I'm not going to get into too much detail because I don't want to ruin it for people that want to go to it. But it's the rise of the mob, the peak of the mob, and then the fall of the mob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. And it goes into detail about like how the mob like controlled things, how they came into power, how it like all basically fell apart. Also, the cool part for me was that they had all that shit about Whitey Bulger and mm-hmm. Steve Flemmy. That was awesome.
Oh yeah, they had like the all organized crime, like not just the Italian mafia either. And like all over the country and other parts of the world too.
Yeah, and then on the entrance floor they have like the wall of mobsters and then like all the stuff that like Whitey Bulger from when he got caught and like how organized crime is still happening. They had some good scrimshaw in there.
Mm. Yeah, Nick and I are now made men.
Yep.
Yeah.
We took that oath there.
And then the basement had a speakeasy in it.
Yep.
Yeah, they had the distillery. Where they had like a still, they made their own moonshine.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. The drink like that I ordered. 20s,
like, yeah, it was. They had some good drinks.
No, the drink I ordered was like an old fashioned with a light reading is what it described itself as.
Yeah.
They served it to me. So like they served me a book with the glass with the old fashioned ingredients in the glass, but no like
bourbon in the. The alcohol was hidden in the book.
Yeah. So you open up the book. It was like a plastic hollowed out book. It was a bottle of bourbon in there. It was pretty neat.
And then after that was when we walked around Fremont Street for a little bit, which when we went out there, my dad was like, I don't care what you do. I hope you have a good time. Don't go to Fremont Street. Because if you go to Fremont Street, you will die. Fremont Street's old Vegas. It's what Vegas used to be.
I also heard that old Vegas is scary.
Yeah. So
that's scary, but maybe it is at night.
Yeah. We're like, oh, let's walk around.
Yeah, at night. I heard it's not safe at night.
So we're like, oh, let's walk around a little bit. So we start walking around a little bit. We're like looking at the street signs. Like, it's like I see 3rd Street. And I remember seeing a billboard that was like 3rd and Fremont. And I was like, I wonder if we're close to Fremont Street. And then all of a sudden we look up and it's like the Fremont Street Experience. And I was like, oh, we're on Fremont Street. So we were like, oh, fuck it. Let's go on Fremont Street. So we walked down Fremont Street. There was a lot of fucking meth addicts.
And yeah, poop on the ground. Vegas in general.
Yeah, it's amusing. Yeah, poop. But it's amusing how, like, everyone around here is addicted to heroin, but everyone out west is addicted to meth.
Yeah. It was a different kind of weird.
Yeah.
Fremont Street honestly wasn't that bad. Like, I mean, it was pretty fucking not like the Vegas Strip is today.
Yeah, but it was, like, pretty seedy.
Yeah, it was pretty seedy. Like, did I feel horribly uncomfortable in broad daylight? No. Did I feel uncomfortable? Yeah.
I felt uncomfortable when that mess hit.
I felt no more uncomfortable than walking around, like, Salisbury Beach. Yeah, like, I felt like I was going to step on a fucking needle with every given step.
No, there weren't any needles. They're not doing heroin. They're doing meth.
You can inject meth.
You know that meth head with, like, the
hat? We did see a guy shooting up, I think, though.
Yeah.
You guys know that, The meth head with that half torn like pant leg. I think he followed some of you guys at one point. It's like camo pants. And one of his like legs, like one of his like pant legs was like torn like halfway down.
That wasn't on Fremont Street.
No, that was at the Strip. But I'm pretty confident he wanted to rob me. He was following me for a while and acting all weird. So I just went back to Paris and then he stopped following me.
Yeah.
And after that, we walked around for a while, found a nice, you know, very broad daylight four-way intersection. We're like, all right, let's call some taxis and go to like go do something. So we went to Sky Zone. So we were like, we had the freaking go pass and it was going to be free for us.
First off, I call a Lyft, but we all call Lyfts. You get picked up.
Yeah, I got picked up before Evan, even though Evan ordered his Lyft before me. And then,
my Lyft gets canceled.
Yep.
I call another, gets canceled. We get another one, get there.
They got there like anyway. A half hour after. It was like a 10-minute Lyft ride, and they got there a half hour after us.
Yeah.
Which was so insane. Stupid.
And then we had like the guy who picked us up. He calls his daughter in the middle of the ride, and he was just speaking Spanish to his daughter the whole time. We have no idea what he's saying. And he's just having this conversation, and we're just sitting in the car listening to it.
Yep. It was weird. To Sky Zone. Sky Zone was really fun, except for those kids that were being absolute fags.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hated those kids.
Horrible parents.
Yeah. These kids that were just fucking humming dodgeballs at people's heads and just, like, laughing when they actually bean someone.
Were they in a dodgeball area?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, if they weren't, it's all right. I'd beat your kids or I'll beat your kids.
Yeah, no, it was
honestly, I was
area.
Really considering just going to kick their asses, but I was like, God, they're fucking 13. Can't
they're like 12 years old, yeah.
I'll always be like
pick
that,
up by the ankles and just fucking snap them like a towel.
It was like, you know, you'd watch them get hit like four times and they wouldn't get out, and then they would like just start complaining and yelling when you
something didn't go their way.
Yeah, when it wouldn't go their way, basically. And they have a guy who's like a ref the whole time, and I was like, hey, man. You're like the ref, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, can you start calling this game fairly? I've watched this one kid get hit like four times, and he won't get out, and he's just been complaining. He was like, hey, man, they're just kids. I'm like, I'm just asking you to do your job. Like, all you gotta do is pay attention.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't really care. I was just there to, like, fucking do silly shit dodging balls.
Yeah. But the next guy, he was on it until we started talking to him, kind of. But
yeah. That guy was cool though.
Yeah, he was wicked.
Was he from Hawaii?
Yeah, he was from Hawaii.
Yeah, he was pretty chill. I forget what we talked about though. It was like you know, the Patriots and like Tom Brady and.
We were like, oh, we're from New Hampshire, and he was like, yeah, what's New Hampshire known for? And I was like, heroin.
Pretty much. I mean, didn't former president call it the drug infested den?
Yep.
Yep.
So then we finished up at Sky Zone, and I think wasn't that the first night that we went to the Senior Frogs? Yes.
No. Yeah, that was that night. Yeah.
We had an hour happy hour at Senior Frogs.
Yeah. An hour open bar.
Yep, and they ran that long for us, which was very nice.
Yeah, and they were not watering down the drinks either.
No, they gave us our money's worth for that.
Yeah, I think I had like 8.
Shout out to Senior Frogs.
Robbie probably had 10.
Yeah, we were feeling it.
This was one of the times. So Evan showed them the picture of his license and the weight. Was like, oh, I got to go talk to my manager or whatever. So Evan was like, fuck it, I'm not getting any drinks tonight. And then she comes back, she's like, yeah, my manager's cool with it.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm getting hammered.
Evan got to get hammered. How many drinks did we end up getting? I think I ended up drinking like
6.
I feel like I drank like 8.
Yeah, I think we did get like 8.
We started off with the Long Island iced tea, and then after that
we just kept getting different drinks.
It was Long Island iced tea, then the Long Island iced tea with blue curacao instead of Coke. Ooh.
What did she call that? It was like bitch something.
Adios, motherfucker,
yeah.
And then
we got like margaritas. Then we
margaritas,
got like
strawberry daiquiris.
More Long Island iced teas.
Bud Lights.
Yeah, Jake got Bud Lights.
Yeah, I got Bud Lights.
Jake had 2 drinks, I think, of the real drinks.
I had the Long Island iced tea, which I didn't want to do, and they were like, come on! I was like, alright, I guess. So I drank that, and I did have a strawberry daiquiri. I think I had like 3 or 4 Bud Lights.
And I think Robbie drank like 2 of your drinks.
Yeah, I gave Robbie's.
So I mean, I don't know about you guys. I got pretty fucking obliterated at Senior.
Yeah, we stood up like to take a picture, and I had to hold Jake so I didn't fall over.
Yeah,
and then I went to the bathroom, and I had to leave the restaurant and walk through the casino.
Oh my god, what a nightmare.
Barely do it.
Yeah, Evan and I pulled trigger in the bathroom.
So after my last drink, I felt like shit, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna throw up now." This is fucking really good. Awful. So I went to the bathroom, and I was like, "I don't think I'm gonna throw up. I think I just have to take a shit." Fucking annihilated that toilet. So glad I didn't have to clean it. I hit a pressure release valve and just fucking, I felt so good afterwards. I was like, all right, now I'm good.
So did I. Yeah. I annihilated that.
Joe sobered me up quick because he kept trying to fucking get, so we plugged into Google Maps how to get back to the Paris, and Joe was like, no, we gotta go the opposite way Google Maps is telling us. And I was like, Joe, it's Google. I'm just like, no, we're going the wrong way.
We could see our hotel from there.
Yeah.
It was just the way my mind was at that point. The Trump Tower is right there, and the Mirage is right there, so Paris must be that way. I don't know why Google Maps is taking us this way, and that doesn't make any sense. And then it did make sense after five minutes.
You could turn and see the Eiffel Tower, but like...
After that, we went to a
gentleman's club.
Yes, thank you, Nick.
So the one we went to, it's called Sapphire.
Assortment of
it is the largest in the world, right?
Yeah, largest. Largest.
It's 70,000 square feet. It has a pool. It's big.
So the people who went, it was Nick, myself, Jake, and Robbie all went.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys went to your gentleman's club. I clubbed a gentleman.
Joe sinned.
Yeah.
I did sin in the city of sin.
That sounds kind of gay.
Before we went, the
entire 5 days that we were there, there were these guys with a megaphone. It was the same two guys every day for like at least 20 hours a day. We're just standing there. Just shouting, like, repent your sins, all who
Jesus can renounce your sins. Jesus died on the cross for you sinners, and this you are engaging in sodomy, engaging in homosexuality, like just all day. It's like, shut up,
sleep.
Go take his batteries.
And it was the same. It was the same monotone voice all the time.
There was always two guys, but only one of them ever had the like megaphone.
Yeah.
The other one was just there for moral support. Like,
weird thing too is that they were talking about like the word of God and Jesus, and they were wearing yarmulkes, which mostly be a God thing, you think. All right. Anyway, back to the gentleman's club.
All right. So before we go to this club, right? We had a Lyft driver.
We were asking him
like where we could go. We told him we were going to go there, and he said, "Don't go there; it's too expensive." Mm-hmm. We're like, "Oh, we already paid to get in there." So
he ended up giving me his phone number. And he was like, "Oh, text me tomorrow. I'll take you to a really cool club. You'll really like it." He was like, "It's a lot more ghetto, but it's So anyway, so I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So we go to Sapphire and we sit down.
So. My plan, but when we went in there, he told us it was very expensive, not worth it. I went there, and my plan was to just sit by the table, watch some stuff, have a couple drinks, you know, just hang out. So what happened?
So we sit down, and immediately, anybody who's gone to a gentleman's club will tell you, as soon as you sit down, the girls come over, and they try to get you to go, you know, go to the back rooms and get a dance. Mm-hmm. We sit down.
Because they weren't doing lap dances out at the tables.
No.
You had to go to the other rooms.
Yeah. So we sit down and start talking to Nick and I and Jake and Robbie, going back and forth or whatever. And then Nick's like, "Hey, you want to go on a tour with me?" And I was like, "What?" So the girl that Nick was talking to was like, "Yeah, come on, it'll be fun." And then the girl's talking to me is like, "Yeah, like, you know, let's go on a tour, like, go check a place out or whatever. Go on a tour place. I'm like, "Okay, let's go on this tour, Nick. Fine, I'll go on a tour with you. That's fine.
Get the Luger."
Well, keep in mind, though, we hadn't even sat down at the table for like 30 seconds, and Nick was like,
"We sat down. See you guys later." Came over. Girl sat on my lap. Was like, "Hey, want to go on a tour?" I was like, "Nah." She's like, "Come on, let's go on a tour." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, literally everything. Any time that a girl would say something to Nick, she'd be like, "Come on, let's do this," and he'd be like, "No." She's like, "Oh, come on, please," and then Nick would be like, "Well, you bent my arm."
Nick, you want to help me commit a series of felonies?
Let's talk about that when we're not recording.
Come on, man.
So we end up going, there's an elevator. We go up the stairs. They show us like these like ultra luxury private rooms. Like
the private skyboxes.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't.
Which is like overlooking the main floor, right?
Yeah. So they're like, and so, like a ton of fucking money.
But so then they take us back down and they have like the separate like lap dance room. Yes. And then Scott and I end up getting lap dances, right?
We got lap dances. We're sitting next to each other. Nick's girl walks away for like a few minutes to go take a chick dump. And
well, because we ordered drinks and she's like, oh, while the drinks are coming, she went to the bathroom.
Like, stop shitting. Nick, come on, back me up here. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was quick, you know.
So we're sitting there, and then my girl there's this like curtain that's like wicked opaque.
Yeah, and she like opens the curtain. Opens it up, so she was like talking.
Nick and I look at each other, and I'm like, "Hi, Nick. Please close the curtain now."
Well, then, the girl who's talking to me, asking me questions and stuff.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't tell anybody this. The girl that was with me, I think she asked me 7 times the same 3 questions. Have you ever been to Vegas before? How long are you here? Where are you staying? She asked me that at least 7 times. I didn't really care because I knew she was just making small talk. I said very little to her the entire time. I think, so we got 15, you get 15 minutes with them. I think in the entire 15 minutes, I said 7 words.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I was not wasting any time.
Simply saying, not.
No, this is what I said. Yes. I can tell you every word that I said. Yes. No. I know what I like. That was it. That's all I said to her. So I got my 15 minutes and I was like, all right, I'm good. Like I wanted to experience that in Vegas. I experienced that in Vegas. I'm going back to hang out with the boys. Nick, on the other hand.
So you get the dance is over, right? So keep in mind, we had just had all those drinks before. I had another drink there, right? So the dance is over. The girl's on my lap still. She's like, hey, why don't we go up to a private room? It's like, I don't know about that one. And we're talking about, you know, prices and stuff. And she's trying. Then they're trying, Scott and I, to both go with both the girls. And so then Scott said, nope, not doing it. And he left. And so then they're trying to get the two girls trying to get me to pay for both of them. And I was like, that's a lot of money. But then I ended up going with, so she talked me into it, right? So I went up there with the one girl, right? And then so you pay for the room, and then you got to get a bottle of champagne. And so there was an issue with my card because I never told the bank I was going to Vegas. So they kept having to like whatever. So I was up there for like 45 minutes before the hour that I paid for even started. And so I was just talking to the girl, right? And then they come back and like, all right, all set. Here's your bottle. Let's go. And then some stuff happened.
And then some stuff happened.
So they had the champagne, so we're drinking the champagne. You know, she's dancing on me, doing her thing. You know, she was pretty talented. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
So,
well, it's not quite it.
So Scott and Nick walk away. Nick tells me before we even get there, don't let me get
Don't
let me do
it. Don't let me spend
too
extra
much
money.
I was like, all right, Nick, that's fine. I mean, I didn't even have enough
Jake
time
looks
to
away
react.
And I'm gone already.
Nick was walking away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Basically, Jake turned his head and I was gone.
What?
Like,
so, it's Robbie and I. We're sitting at the table, whatever, the girls are there. They're talking to us. And then this lady comes over and we got a drink package. And it comes with a table.
Yeah, so we each had $100, like, drink cards. So we had $100 worth of drinks there. Yeah. So it's $400.
So 2 Diet Cokes.
Well, listen to Jake's story.
At Vegas price.
Yeah.
Listen to his story.
She was, like, coming over, and she was like, all right, like, this is your table. You guys want to get a bottle? What do you guys want to do? And then Robbie and I were talking. We're like, oh, you know, this was our thought process. Nick and Scott are going to be back. We'll buy a bottle. We'll all drink out of it. You know what I mean? That'll be good. So she's showing us all the bottles. She's showing us the prices, whatever. We're like, oh, we'll just get this bottle. It'll be good. And then we're like, oh, it's going to be an additional $250 for this bottle.
On top of our
$400 drink card. We're like, yeah, whatever, fine.
get the bottle. Robbie and I are talking. I was like, oh, I'll just put it on my card, and then you can pay the tip if you want. He was like, yeah, yeah, all right, that works, that works. So he does. He gives her the cash. Whatever. I fill out the card. We're sitting there. We're talking. We got a bottle of Belvedere. She's, oh, what do you guys want for mixers? I don't know. Pineapple juice. Robbie got grapefruit juice. They got cranberry juice. You know, the typical stuff you see mixed with vodka. And so we're just sitting there. She comes up. She's, oh, you know, I'm gonna be your waitress. So whatever. If you need anything, just tell me. I'll come over. I'll pour. Make you drinks. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. All right, fine. Makes her drinks. So Robin and I sitting there, we're talking. And the girls come over and they try to get you. Oh, you come up back with me. Come up back with me. And then I'm just like, no, that's too much money. And then they find out that you're not interested. And then they walk away because they're like, all right, this is not worth my time. But we had one girl, she came over and we're talking with her for a while, actually. We somehow ended up getting talking about school. And it was like, oh, yeah, we both graduated a while ago, and she was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I dropped out of high school junior year. I was like, dropped out of high school junior year?
That was just a couple weeks before this happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not right. You're going to the Thought Emporium, and you're shocked you're finding thoughts.
Gentlemen, no, but it was like, head to bed.
All right.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, folks.
Everyone say bye to Joe.
Bye,
Joe.
But,
Joe.
Yeah, so she's freaking tell me about all the ridiculous stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, and then she gets up and she walks away. And then, you know, they come back and forth, and they're trying to get you to go back, and we had another girl come, and this, Scott was back at this point. Scott had come back.
Nick didn't come back.
Nick did not come back. We were, you know, we're talking to this girl, and then it's all, you know, we're just like, wow, you know, Nick's been up there for a while. Like, I hope everything's going all right. Like, it's been like...
And they should probably...
It's been right, like an hour and a half, like...
Yeah.
We're almost getting a little bit worried, you know what I mean? And so we're talking to this girl, and she was cool, and she stayed and talked to us for a while. I mean, she probably stayed and talked to us for... half an hour maybe, and at first it was like she was there for our money, and then she like had a genuine conversation, and she was like, it went from like, oh my god, to like, whoa, holy shit, that's cool. And so yeah, she's talking, and then the waitress comes over, and oh no, actually before that even happened, I got up and went to the bathroom, and I came back, and Robbie says something to me. And I then realized at that point, Robbie was not in a good way. Robbie was so drunk. At that point, he had blacked out, but he didn't know it.
He was no longer speaking English.
He was not speaking English. He said something to me, and I had to like think it over in my head. Like, what did he just say? Couldn't figure it out. So then,
I wish I had seen that, but...
Yeah, it was funny.
I had fun by myself.
Scott
my
comes
own,
back, yeah. And I don't know if Scott had realized that, like, I don't know if... There's no way he didn't know that Robbie was, like, in a bad way, because he was, like, that drunk. Yeah, did you... Like,
Listen, this is what I knew. So I helped Robbie walk to the bathroom to go throw up.
No, this is before. This is before even that. We hadn't even... Nick hadn't
come
back.
Oh, I thought he was just having a good time.
Okay, all right.
I just thought he was having a good time. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, Robbie's drunk. We're having a good time. I was pretty fucking... I was as hammered as Robbie was at that point. So I was like...
Beg to differ.
I was like, I feel sick, but I'm still good. Imagine that Robbie's a larger man than I am. I think he had two more drinks than I did.
Robbie drank half the bottle of vodka to himself.
Oh, are you talking about... We're still at the club, right?
Yes, we're still at the club.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. So... I knew at that point Robbie was in trouble. I thought you were talking about Senior Frogs.
No.
I knew at that point Robbie was in trouble, so I helped walk him, like, I held him up into the bathroom, and I was like, all right, Robbie, let's go throw up in the toilet of a strip club.
Well,
he goes to the urinal, and I was like, oh, Robbie, don't throw up in a urinal. Pisses in the urinal. The force of the piss is knocking him over, and he's like, yeah, I'm good. So we start walking out, and he's like, kind of like wobbling and swaying or whatever. I grabbed him by the back of the neck, and I leaned over, and I was like, Robbie, if you throw up in the strip club, I will kick your ass. And then the bouncers will kick your ass. And he goes,
all right, I got you, I got you. So we make it the fuck out of there. Get in a taxi to go back to the.
Hold on, you're not even there yet. One of the funniest parts. Yeah.
We're sitting there, and Robbie's messed up, and the girl comes over and sits down at the table. This happened a couple times, but immediately she walks over, and Robbie goes, "You're beautiful. You're beautiful." Yeah. And she was like, "Oh, thank you, whatever." And then he goes, "But I don't have enough money to pay a beautiful woman like you." But you could barely understand him, and she looks at me like, "What the fuck did he just say?" And I was like, I don't know. And he just keeps going, and she's looking over at me, trying to, like, see if I knew what he's talking about. I'm giving them the same look back. And then she just gets up and leave. And then Nick finally comes out.
Okay, well, so while all this is going on, right, I'm on my own, right? Well, not on my own. I'm up sharing a bottle of champagne with a naked girl, basically.
Not even basically. Like,
actually, yeah, when we first went up there, it was like before the time started. She went to the bathroom again, and I was looking out the window, and I could see you guys sitting at the table, and I could see the girls around you, and Robbie's like slumped in the corner.
Yeah.
And so one thing happened up in that room that leads into the next night too. So I got to mention that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So in this guy, this room, right, there's a big long couch. There's a table there. There's a couple chairs. She keeps having me move around the room. And at one point, I get up. She's like, "All right, get up, get up." And she sits on the couch, right? And she's like, "No, you give me a lap dance." I was like, okay. So I was like, didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know how to do it. And I just basically just straddle over and start playing with her boobs again. And then she like pulls my shirt up like to like my chin, right? And then she starts sucking on my nipples. And I hadn't experienced that before, and I was like, well, that's kind of fun.
It's called the Holy Bible, and you're going to need it where you're going.
So,
oh, guess where, CJ?
Nick comes down, because he was probably...
Right, so, I was up there like an hour, 45 minutes, right? Because I paid for an hour, and it was a while before, like, stuff.
Pure, out of just pure curiosity, what is the going rate of an hour per thought?
It was a good amount of money. We don't need to get into that.
Yeah, especially not on a recorded podcast.
Yeah, I'll tell you when you're older, TJ.
So, Nick
comes
down.
I had a good time. I drank like 3/4 of a bottle of champagne. Plus, I had that drink there, plus senior frogs. I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah, so Nick comes down, and at this point, I'm like, Nick better have fucking fathered a child up there for the amount of time he was just up there. Because all I'm thinking is, like, Nick was up there for an hour and 45 minutes. He's broke. He spent at least $2,500.
Like, nope, didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, Nick is going to a father to child. So he comes down, and I was like, Nick, tell me what happened. Nick goes, I had a good time. I had a great time. And I was like, I kept pressing him for details. And he just kept saying, I had a good time. I had a great time.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So, and then another thing, small detail.
Yeah.
Before this trip and during the trip a couple times, I had said to Jake, I'm pretty sure being blackout drunk isn't a thing. It's not a real thing. It never happened. I don't think it's real. So when we were leaving that club, what I remember is they came in, told us time was over, put her top back on. She grabs my hand, leads me to the elevator, and then I woke up. That's what I remembered.
Yeah.
And we have been going for a while.
Here's the thing. We're gonna finish up this night.
Yeah, we'll wrap up this night. It's a good ending.
Part two.
Yeah, we'll wrap up this night.
So we're going to get to a part two. But anyway, so we end up going back to our apartment, our hotel. We got a ride back from a racist cab driver. That was fucking great.
Literally, I remember that one joke he said, and I don't remember like anything else.
I don't remember any of the other jokes either.
Actually, I do remember a little bit. I do remember getting after we were back at the hotel.
All right, here's the real important question. Who is he racist towards?
Everybody. Mostly black people.
Yeah, because he probably imagined, all right, there's a bunch of honkies getting in my car. Oh, man, I'm just going to rattle off some race jokes. They'll give me tons of money.
He looked like the exact guy you'd expect to be a cab driver outside of a strip club. Old dude, gray hair, mustache, driving a Charger.
Yep. So we get back to the hotel room, and Robbie is like fucking not in a good way. So as soon as we get there, I was going to go take a piss. Robbie runs into the bathroom, and I'm like, all right, it's happening now. So I'm just, like, listening, waiting for it to happen, and all of a sudden I just hear Robbie into the toilet, and I'm just like, you good? And he goes, and then all I can hear is him throwing up over and over and over again for, like, at least 10 minutes. So I'm just on my phone, like, waiting for it to stop and for him to come out and go, like, oh, I got to go to bed. Doesn't come out. It stopped for, like, 10 minutes. I was like, I got to go check on Robbie. So I'm knocking on, I'm like, Robbie, you good? Nothing. I'm like, fuck, Robbie's dead. Open up the door. Robbie threw up on every inch of the fucking floor of our bathroom, in the toilet.
Everywhere!
All over himself. I'm like, it smelled so bad. I was like, fuck, I gotta go take a piss. So I go to Jake and Nick's hotel room, take a piss, tell them the whole story, show them, I took a picture. I showed them the picture of the bathroom. And I go back in there, and I'm about to go to bed and just leave Robbie where he is, and I'm like, oh, fuck it. Like, I gotta help him out a little bit. I was really gonna try to get him back to bed. He was not moving. So I open the door. Robbie is so drunk that he won't even fall over. He has taken his closed fist and shoved it into the hole of the toilet to support himself. So that way he won't fall over. And I was like, oh no, Robbie, that's a toilet. So
in Vegas.
So I was like, all right, I need to at least clean up the vomit around there. I cleaned it up for three reasons. Number one, it smelled really bad. Number two, I felt really bad for Robbie. And number three, I didn't want him to eventually fall over and either cover himself in vomit or drown in vomit. So I cleaned up as much vomit as I could.
Or we get a massive fee from the hotel.
Yeah.
I didn't care about that. It was on Robbie's credit card. So I cleaned up the a vast majority of the vomit. I used almost every towel that we had. And I went to bed, and then like 5 hours later, I see Robbie just like flop into bed. Like, he woke me up flopping into bed. It's like, all right, cool. Left the bathroom door closed. Thank God he did. It smelled so bad. In the morning, I go in there, and his pukey clothes are all just like on the floor. And I was like, oh, they smell so bad. So I put them in a trash bag and tie it up. Finished cleaning up the rest of the puke. There was one towel left that I didn't use. It was a bath towel. Took a shower, dried off, put all the puke towels into it, walked out to the house cleaning service, and I was like, yeah, we need to get rid of these. And I just threw them in the bin before they could even look at them and grabbed a new set of towels. And then, I don't know, Robbie woke up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. He had a good time. He had a great time.
Yeah. We also forgot to mention that the cab driver, for some reason, kept insisting that it was Robbie's birthday. Yep. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy, it must be his birthday. He's having a good time. We're like, no, it's not his birthday. You know, he did have a good time. I was like, this guy, his birthday. And we're like, it's not his birthday. Why do you keep saying that?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so yeah. I remember I lost most of the time, all of the, like, leaving the club and getting to the hotel. I remember being in bed already. I don't remember Scott even coming to our room.
You don't remember that?
I remember just laying in bed talking to Jake, and I wouldn't stop talking.
I came to your room, and you were like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I got to take a piss. And he was like, you're like, go take a piss in your own room. And I was like, I'll show you why I can't in a minute. And then I pissed and came out, and you were like, oh, no, Robbie.
Yeah, I completely do not remember that happening.
Yeah.
I remember I was laying in bed. Jake's like, all right, it's late. We're going to go to bed now. And I was just kept talking. And I kept saying goodnight, and then just started talking again.
So then she pulled her tongue over.
Like, all right, and then yeah, like, all right, good night, Jake.
We're gonna continue this pod, this story in a part two of this adventure, because it's getting late and I'm tired. Yeah. In the next part, you get to hear the story about how I almost got raped at a strip club.
I got serious bodily injuries.
I mean, it was pretty heavily implied that something was going to happen to me, so.
Alrighty. Well, see you guys in part two.
Part two.
Bye. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later, gamers.